y'all, meaning the Bengals front office, have never done before. But in y'all, AMAC comes back from the weekend just firing away. Just trying to make fun of your boy. Just trying to do some radio around here.
Am I doing something that I don't recognize? I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like you have like a point to prove. I don't know. Maybe you're just, you know, maybe you're just a little salty after the weekend. Maybe you wanted Ethan Holiday instead of, for your favorite sport, you know, maybe you wanted Ethan Holiday instead of Eli Willis. I mean,
I feel,
you know,
seen.
I understand. Yeah. All right. So, interesting. I just had a conversation during the topic before we move on. I just had a conversation with Toby Altizer, Danny Who, yay, who are starting their show now, and they are not very, it sounded like, based on a couple of minute conversation, very high on the notion of Eli Willits being the right pick or the true number one, the guy they wanted all along. And this notion that, you know, it didn't have anything to do with signability and whatever. And part of it is because Eli Willits is not the same power hitter that Ethan Holiday is. So it remains to be seen how this all works out. Here's the thing. In a draft where nobody had a absolute consensus number one, again, Kate Anderson and Ethan Holiday were projected to be the most likely number, but nobody thought there was anybody that separated themselves head and shoulders. You know, it allows you to do what they did, quite honestly. And that's take a player that they really liked for whatever reasons they had. And again, I think they got the best defensive player in the draft, one, and they got probably the best contact hitter in the draft, or in that part of the draft, two, and they feel he's got better power than maybe some of the stats and some of the scouting reports and whatever. We'll see if they're right. We'll see if they're right. And also, we can be big boys and acknowledge that this is about money and not wanting to deal with Scott Boras. I know there are reports out there, I know, that said, oh, the Nats never even considered, like, even reached out to Boras about Ethan Holiday to find out. So if that's true, if that's true, then they liked Eli Willits over Ethan Holiday just as a baseball player. Because if you never even reached out, why wouldn't you reach out, number one? But if they never did, then they had Eli Willits ranked ahead of Ethan Holiday, it would appear, if that's true. Again, just something to keep in mind. All right, so we're going to move on to this. ESPN put together, and they do this position by position by position, executives, coaches, and scouts ranking the top 10 at every position. They've been doing this since Monday, or last Monday, with running backs, defensive tackles, edge rushers, safeties, tight ends. We haven't even gotten into any of this yet because I wanted to save it for when it was a slower week. Hello, this is a slower week. So we'll start today in reverse order with quarterbacks, which came out again today. And this is obviously the main one that is going to get the you know, the most attention because it's the quarterbacks, right? So we know, or we should know, that there are some outstanding quarterbacks, and most of them reside in the AFC. And to nobody's surprise, the league MVP, a two-time league MVP, all of that, I mean, they're all at the top of this list, right? Number one picks, so on and so forth, and Super Bowl champions. Now, again, this is scouts, coaches, so on and so forth. This is, again, ranking them as they're going into, the upcoming year, okay? Not just based historically, But this is a kind of a hybrid combination, if you will. So, according to Fowler, Patrick Mahomes still ranked number one. He was number one last year, which was understandable. They were coming off of two straight Super Bowls. And they do note that Mahomes lost a little bit, as he should, right? Last year was not as good, and the Chiefs fell short dramatically in the Super Bowl. And once again, like the Buccaneers did a couple of years ago, the Eagles last year proved his kryptonite is when his offensive line is shaky or torn to pieces, as the Kansas City Chiefs were a couple of times in these Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes is human. That doesn't mean he's bad, but he's human. So everybody keeps that in mind, not to mention he doesn't have the same weapons that he once used to. Kelce is slowing down big time. They lost DeAndre Hopkins over the offseason to Baltimore. I don't think Patrick Mahomes, right now, if you had to say, despite, again, all of the accolades, despite all of the numbers, I don't think Patrick Mahomes right now makes me go, oh my God, like when the Commanders go into Kansas City for Monday night, I have all the respect, all the like admiration, everything. But I don't crap my pants going into Kansas City if I'm the Washington Commanders. I'm sorry, I don't. I get you could throw every number in the book. I just don't. They don't have a lot of weapons. They really, really don't. As good as Patrick Mahomes is. Now, the one thing the Commanders don't have is his kryptonite, which is pass rush. And a relentless, dogless, dog-filled pursuit. Some people that were polled in this, like I'm looking at one of the quotes, he says, other guys played great, meaning Mahomes, ahead of Mahomes. He took a little step back based off of the last few seasons. I don't expect it to last as to why this executive from the NFC voted Mahomes fourth. Okay. I think that's fair. Consensus number one. I would have gone a different way. That's me. Again, I think this is more of a historical nod and a Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid will be better this year, but I don't know how they're better. I don't know how, quite honestly, they're better. I have to see it before I absolutely just assume it. Not believe it, but assume it. Josh Allen is number two. The league's MVP. Now, much like a lot of these quarterbacks, he was ranked as high as number one, and ranked as low as number four. Okay. I guess that's a matter of taste. Josh Allen's awesome. I don't care what anybody wants to say. Josh Allen deserved the MVP last year. Josh Allen did it a lot with less. Remember, they lost Stephon Diggs. They lost the kid, Gabe Davis. They had injuries to their tight end. Sure, they had a good running back. They don't have a dominant offensive line. They've got a good left tackle. Not a dominant offensive line. Josh Allen was awesome. And for anybody that says, he hasn't done it in big spots and whatever, please. I mean, his team has ultimately not been able to climb Mount Mahomes. I get that. There's been some disappointing playoff losses. There's been some. They came real close in the AFC Championship game. Couple of times, as we all know. Now, that being said, Josh Allen is obviously going to make some mistakes that you want to take back. He's got an 18.1% off-target rate. Which, as Fowler points out, is the worst percentage among the 18 quarterbacks who received at least one vote to be in the top 10 in this ranking. So there is still some risk. Here's one that kind of surprises me a little bit. Joe Burrow, number three. Not that Joe Burrow shouldn't be in the top five. He should, absolutely. And he should be in the top four. But I thought he would probably be four, not three. So it's not a big deal, but his team did not make the playoffs. They started 0-3. Joe Burrow was not totally immune from that. Let's be honest. I mean, he played good. He didn't play great in those three games. He really didn't.
With three games?
Joe Burrow for the Bengals during their first three games last year. Including the game against the Commanders.
Yeah.
Again, you have to read more than statistics. Mm-hmm. He did not play good against the Patriots in week one. I know that.
No.
Played better against the Chiefs in week two. They arguably should have won that game. I think they allowed a 4th-and-16, you know, on the whatever. But week three against the Commanders, he put up some big numbers. Mm-hmm. Watch it. Again, in the red zone, in the goal-to-go area. Joe Burrow, number three. His lowest ranking, according to Fowler and ESPN, was five. Interesting. Highest ranking one. Last year, he ranked twice. Joe Burrow is awesome. Nobody's trying to take that away, right? I mean, Joe Burrow is awesome. He threw for almost 5,000 yards, 4,918, 43 touchdowns. The problem for me, if I'm being honest, I'm an availability guy, right? Joe Burrow, when he's playing, awesome. But he's had 2 years that have been dramatically cut short because of injury. That doesn't mean he can't play. That doesn't mean he's not great. But it means, just like with Dak Prescott, you've got to keep that in mind. You've got to constantly worry. Now, I worry about Jaden Daniels, too. But that's just me being a neurotic freak. But you've got to, I mean, you've got to think about this. Right? Not to mention, Joe Burrow has two extremely, really, really good receivers. So how much has he made them better? He's made them better. How much have they made him better? Well, I mean, again, unless you're a guy, and there's a lot of you out there that just look at the quarterback and nothing else, you know, but I think they've made him better too in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Number four is Lamar Jackson. Lowest ranking in this poll, six. Highest ranking, one, which, again, makes sense. I don't know how six seems pretty low to me. I mean, look, I've been a critic of Lamar Jackson up until a year and a half or so ago. I did not think, and nor did a lot of people in the NFL, that he was a good pocket passer. That was part of the reason why their offense was inefficient from a passing perspective. It's part of the reason why they didn't stretch the field a lot. Part of the reason. But Lamar Jackson, we know what kind of athlete, we know what kind of... The thing that strikes me about Lamar Jackson that I was not aware of when he entered the NFL is he seems to have a level of maturity and poise that I was not expecting. I don't know why, but I was not expecting. Now, he's got to play better in the playoffs, period. End of story. End of argument. And I think that colors a lot of people's opinion. Period. For those of you that are out there, and there are plenty of you out there, that say quarterbacks don't win games, though, and all this other nonsense. Quarterbacks, if they're going to get all the glory, they're going to get a lot of the criticism. And you can't just play good in October and November and expect everybody to forget about January and February. Just like for Joe Burrow, you can't play really, really good in October, November, and December and expect Chris Russell, because I might be the only one, to remember that you didn't play great in weeks 1, 2, and 3. Regardless of what the statistics say, go back and watch the games. Because I know what's going to happen. You guys are going to, what are you talking about? He put up huge numbers. Watch the games. Weeks 1, 2, and 3, he was not great. It's good. Not great. Not great for Joe Burrow. Lamar Jackson has to get better in playoff games, period, end of argument. No, he's not the only reason they lost in Buffalo, but he is a reason. We all know what kind of athlete he is. We all know what kind of runner he is. The biggest improvement he's made is in the pocket as a passer. Look at what the Commanders tried to do last year, and he just torched them. They stuffed the box. They took away the threat of him and his running back. God, why am I blanking on his running back? Derrick Henry. And he just absolutely torched them over that second level to Zay Flowers in the first half. And when they adjusted to that and they took away Zay Flowers, then Lamar and Derrick Henry went to work in the second half in that one game. But again, how the last time people saw him, he was not great in that Buffalo playoff game. And then there's number five. And number five is truly number five. Jaden Daniels. So I ask you, before we dig into this on the other side, at number five, is there anybody that can make an argument that he's underseeded, underranked, meaning he should be in the top four? I just gave you the top four, the order that they came up with. Is there anybody that says, oh, no, that's crazy. That's nuts. Can you make an argument that he belongs inside the top five? He's at five, inside the top five, meaning one through four. 301-230-0980. We'll give you the write-up next on Jaden Daniels, who ranks number five in ESPN's top 10 quarterbacks. A poll and ranking. We'll give you the rest of the list as well. You want to chime in, 301-230-0980. We'll get to some of the usual suspects next as well on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
So that's the problem with the Knicks. And that's the problem with the Phoenix Suns. And that's the problem with Chris Russell. He don't want to listen.
All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. That's the problem with me. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. All right, so Jaden Daniels, number five. I'm going to get to Damian Woody in a sec from ESPN on Jaden Daniels. So we'll get you that in a sec. But here's what they wrote. His highest ranking was 5. His lowest ranking was 10. 10. Could you imagine somebody thinks there's 9 other quarterbacks that are better than Jaden Daniels? Here's what they wrote. Daniels' phenomenal rookie season demanded an appearance somewhere in the top 10. That he pushed his way into the top 5, narrowly outdistancing Matt Stafford in the voting, shows voters have no problem validating his hype. Last season, Daniels posted the 4th highest quarterback rating in the NFL at 70.6, the best mark for a rookie since Dak Prescott in 2016. But he was even better on 3rd and 4th down, recording a league-high 95.3 QBR on those downs. I didn't realize it was that high. Whew. I mean, I knew they were great. On 4th down, I didn't realize it was that hot. Single-handedly took one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, a dinosaur tight end in Zach Ertz, and an average at best offensive line. End quote, said an NFL coordinator who prepared for Daniels last season. Quote, the kid can read coverages, throw with accuracy, and touch to all levels of the field. Just as dangerous as Lamar and Josh Allen with his legs, and as a clutch factor to him because the team already believes that if he has the ball with a chance to win, he's going to find a way. If he repeats anything close to his rookie year, he's no lower than number 3 on this list next year. I mean, that's a pretty powerful quote, and he's not wrong. Further on in the article, Daniels was a true dual threat in his rookie year, ranking 2nd in the NFL in yards per rush at 6.0. and 1st in scramble yards at 570. Sometimes, as Fowler points out, the year one hype can be tough to replicate. C.J. Stroud landed at number 7 last season and struggled at times in year two. Though he's shown enough to convince Houston, he's clearly the long-term answer. Some around the league are at least asking the question of whether Daniels' play will taper off a bit as defenses adjust to both him and Washington's offense. But the consensus is Daniels has too much going for him. Another NFC coordinator weighed in. Quote, won 12 games with a mediocre at best defense and just a decent offensive roster around him. The system he plays in requires him to play off schedule and make plays with his feet on a regular basis for success. And still, he is solid in the pocket, end quote. So Jaden Daniels gets number 5. We'll tell you coming up who's behind him at number 6 and so on. But first, let's grab a call to get the call started because we haven't had time yet. Let's get to Little on line one. What's up, Little? How are you?
Russo, what's going on?
What's shaking, Little?
Shout out to your man, A-Mac. A-Mac, yes, Russo, I like the pick, but that tell me. I like Abrams, too, but that tell me something. I like this kid, man, hit from both sides of the plate. You know what I'm saying? I like that. Now, I'm telling you now, if they move Abrams, they better try to do something, man, and get some good pitching in here. So moving forward, far-wise, Daniels, right place, right time. They ain't seen nothing yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I'm going to leave it at that. And moving forward, man, give a shout-out to the D.C. Divas, man. They playing in the championship game in a couple of weeks in Canton, Ohio. And I've been talking about the DMV becoming D.C. City of Champions. Before I get off the line, Roos, I heard you reaching out a little up the other day about a little some medical issue. I'm going to throw something at you, man. I really want you to Google it and see if it gives you some answers. It's called Pumpkin Seed Oil Gels. Google it, Roos, when you have some time. And see if it gives you some
What is it called? Pumpkin seed oil gels?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. I know you don't like milk. I ran that milk by you a couple of months ago, whatever, how long it been.
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check this out.
Yeah,
okay.
Tell me that won't give you some answers. God bless y'all. Stay up, man.
All right, thank you, Little. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I don't know anything about it. Never heard of it. I've heard of all sorts of other stuff. Never heard of that. All right, we'll get to a lap on the other side as well. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. All right, we'll start in the NFL. Could be more trouble from a contractual and from a personnel standpoint for the San Francisco 49ers. One of their good young receivers, Juwan Jennings, who is expected to take on an even bigger role, wants a new contract or he wants to get traded out of San Francisco. According to Adam Schefter, he's scheduled to make $7.5 million in the final year of his contract. He wants a new contract again or a trade. Of course, they dealt with Brandon Ayuk before eventually giving him a contract extension. The 49ers still have some big deals on their books despite getting rid of Deebo Samuel in the offseason. This just in, remember Teddy Bridgewater, the former first-round pick in the NFL at quarterback? Well, he's been the head coach at Miami Northwestern in high school football, right? But he has now been suspended by the school in Miami for providing impermissible benefits to his players. And apparently Uber rides, all sorts of different items, if you will, on the list. And remember, Teddy Bridgewater actually joined the Lions as a backup and threw one pass against the Commanders in the Commanders' playoff win, 45-31 in Detroit. Again, it's Uber rides, meals, recovery services for his players at Miami Northwestern. We'll see what comes out of that. Tonight, it's the Home Run Derby, and James Wood of the Nationals is a main participant. Of course, there will be several rounds if he can advance and be amongst the top four to advance in the second round. It gets underway from Truist Park in Atlanta after 8 o'clock. And, of course, you can see all that action on ESPN. And the Florida Panthers getting ready to raise their second Stanley Cup championship banner in a row and opening up the NHL season on October the 7th against the Chicago Blackhawks. That'll be a 5 o'clock Eastern time start as they look for a three-peat, which would be the first three-peat since the early 1980s. With the New York Islanders. Also that same night, the Rangers hosting the Penguins at 8 o'clock, Colorado visiting the LA Kings to open up the NHL season. And that's what's trending.
Yeah, I think most Cowboys fans are stupid, for lack of a better word.
I don't disagree with that. Cowboy B offered that. Yeah, see, he's a Cowboys fan, so he's qualified to say that. Hey, a quick congratulations before I forget, because I just saw this during the break. A quick congratulations to our guest on Friday, James Quinn Irons. That's right, Reston, Virginia native, George Mason outfielder. We had him on the show on Friday afternoon. He was drafted in the fifth round of today's Major League Baseball draft. He said he thought he would go between the second and the fifth round, so he was right. Fifth round to the Tampa Bay Rays. That's an awesome organization to go to. They know something about baseball. Let me backtrack. They know a lot about baseball that other organizations don't. Because they don't care. Unlike here, where we bitch and moan about money and resources and this and every Tom, Dick, and Harry that we just bitch about and jersey patches, they do it with virtually no resources. They do it with player development. They do it with whatever analytics they've got, whatever resources they've got. No major league payroll, no fans, no stadium, and they win 90 games almost every year. James Quinn Irons couldn't have gone to a better organization, for himself. I mean, quite honestly, he's way better going to Tampa Bay than here. Sorry, way better. That being said, we'll get you an update on the Nationals draft coming up later on as the draft is still going multiple rounds. But James Quinn Irons out of George Mason and our guest on Friday. If you missed that, check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, on the Odyssey app, theteam980.com. James Quinn Irons from Reston, Virginia. George Mason, outfielder going to the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, before we get into the rest of the top 10 from ESPN, let's grab Lap here on line two. What up, Lap? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rooster?
What's up, Lap?
I hope you're doing well, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, look into some black seed oil. I don't know if you ever checked that out before, but it has a lot of health benefits.
Okay.
For the body.
I appreciate that.
Check that out. Yeah. Yeah, I like the list where Jaden is ranked, man. There's some good points about what they were saying, especially with our team, man. I mean, it was definitely a team effort, but shoot, we wouldn't be nowhere close to where we are if it wasn't for Jaden Daniels, man. So he could possibly move up, man, but I want to see, you know, another year or two for him and kind of be patient with him. And I really want to see that Devo chemistry with him. Because, you know, I had said a while back that, you know, I was hurt with Curtis Samuel leaving and then De'Ami leaving. So I'm like, yes, we got Devo. So hopefully he can play like he was playing a couple of years ago. Hey, Rooster, did you get to watch the summer league for the Wizards?
Yeah, I mean, I got to see bits and pieces. I can't honestly tell you I watched the whole game or a lot of it because there was so much going on. I've still got to watch a lot of baseball, and I had other stuff going on. But I did get to see a lot. Yeah. I was impressed by what I saw. I balance everything by level of competition, man. Until I see it in NBA regular season games, night in, night out, consistently, it's just a small taste of what these guys can provide. But what you saw, especially last night, is very encouraging. Very encouraging. Yeah. It doesn't guarantee anything, but very encouraging.
Yeah, we got Bangley back. We got that other big man named Tristan or something.
Yep. Those Tristan Vukovic,
And development, man, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, also, Rooster, quickly, it's a Roy Rogers in Crofton. If you have a
Crofton, Maryland,
Bowie area, Roy Rogers.
Well, I know there's one in in the Alexandria area, and I know there's still one in Front Royal. I didn't know what other ones there were, but Roy Rogers is the best, man, or at least it used to be.
I wanted to ask you something real quick. I meant to ask you this last week. What's your favorite WrestleMania match, or best match in, I guess, WWE or whatever? Because I'm gonna tell you mine.
Like of all time, you're talking about?
All time. See, you ain't think I knew wrestling. It's just I don't watch as much as you do. But I do have been a fan of it. I was watching it a lot when I was a kid, and then I had got back into it with The Rock. But with John Cena and those boys, I haven't really got into it. You know, Shawn Michaels was my favorite, you know what I'm saying, wrestler. I'm gonna tell you, Rooster, that steel cage match with Undertaker and Mankind, that's the best.
Oh,
match
I've seen, yeah. Man. Hell in a that's Cell. Classic. Hell in a
I'm
Cell.
I'm curious to see what you thought about that. Yeah. I'm curious to see what you thought about that and what was your favorite all time.
I mean, that was great. If we're just talking WrestleMania, I'd probably say, I mean, the one that everybody buzzes about is Bret Hart. Beating Stone Cold Steve Austin, where Stone Cold has the crimson mask and all that. Like, one of my favorite matches of all time, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage at old Pontiac Silverdome in front of, like, 85,000 people in WrestleMania 3. That, you know, that's one that sticks with me. You know, I mean, Shawn Michaels was unbelievable.
I got a grandma impersonation, too.
Yeah.
You ain't never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. That's a good blast from the past. I'm so bad historically because I see so many things that I forget. Oh, yeah, that's right. I used to watch that. Yeah, that's right. I remember that I'm reminded of it, you know?
But you did like that Mankind Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
Undertaker steel cage.
Oh, yes, God. Man. I mean, when Mankind gets thrown off of the top of the cage, which is 20
off
feet.
The top, man.
I mean,
yes.
Just insane.
His
and by the way,
through his mouth, Rooster.
This might surprise you, but anything involving Shane McMahon, not Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon is an absolute just wild carnival ride. I mean, just unbelievable spills at WrestleMania and beyond. Appreciate you, Lap. I got to let you run. I appreciate you, man. Thank you, pal. That was a good little blast from the past. I love it. Watched a lot of wrestling this weekend. Way too much wrestling. My brain is dead. Adam Hangman Page, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Virginia Tech alum, winning the championship over Jon Moxley Saturday afternoon at AEW All In. So many great memories conjured up. All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick timeout? Stay on track. 301-230-0980. I'm going to give you the rest of the ESPN top 10 quarterbacks behind Jaden Daniels at number 5. Again, maybe the biggest and most egregious thing is that one of these executives, coaches, whatever, put Jaden Daniels at number 10. The only thing I could think of is, well, he's got to show it to me for more than 1 year. It's the only thing I could think of. Otherwise, there ain't 9 better quarterbacks in the NFL. I promise you that. On the Team 980, we're always live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Good to have you with us. We're with you until 4. I think Rick Doc Walker is in for Craig Hoffman again in most of this week or all of this week, so he follows us at 4 o'clock on the Team 980. Incredibly stupid take. You suck. All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So here's the rest of the top 10. If you want to weigh in, Jaden Daniels, number 5, as we've been kind of weaving in and out on this particular subject. Top 5, again, I have no problem at all with that. That's as high as he belongs, in my opinion. The bigger issue I have, he does not belong at number 10, which is his lowest rankings, meaning at least one executive or coach or scout or whatever thought that he was the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. We read you the whole breakdown, what have you. Matthew Stafford comes in at number 6. He was 5 last year, number 6. His highest ranking, 4th, somebody, at least one, put him unranked, meaning not in the top 10. Again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Matthew Stafford is a turnover machine at times, but he's tough as nails. He's obviously old, but he can still make a lot of plays. And listen, the Rams weren't that far away from being in that NFC championship game. And maybe that would have changed things for the Commanders. I don't know. Maybe that would have. Just give you a little nugget for Stafford and why the Rams wanted him back. On play action, third highest QBR in the NFL at 81.5. So we gave you Jaden Daniels at 95 point whatever it was on third and fourth down. His 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions, best performance mark since Aaron Rodgers in his prime, or at least 2021. Now, he does have a lot of erraticness in his game. We mentioned the off-target percentage of Josh Allen. Stafford's was 17.6. Second behind Josh Allen. So, again, you take that for what it's worth. Justin Herbert was number 7. Highest ranking this year was 3rd. Lowest ranking, unranked. I think Justin Herbert, listen, I was so disappointed by how poorly they played from, say, the second quarter on in Houston in the playoff game. That was really disappointing. Really disappointing. They just fell apart. They just fell apart. And Justin Herbert has to share some of that blame. Just like he has to share some of that blame for that huge collapse in Jacksonville a couple of years ago in the playoffs, right? Again, quarterbacks don't win games by themselves. They don't lose games by themselves, but they are the driving engine. Like, the notion that people shouldn't stop, that you shouldn't judge quarterbacks based on how they perform in January and February is absurd. Absurd. You have to. You have no choice. Anybody that's doing this right understands that. Again, I mean, I'm going to give AMAX guy, Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame because of what he did in two postseason runs.
Yeah.
And because, yes, he was in New York and because he's a goober face on ESPN's Eli and Peyton or whatever the hell it is.
I don't think that has nothing to do with it. Two Super Bowls and you had one clutch drive in one of those Super Bowls, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously he's got a long career of being good but not great.
Yeah.
But he was great in those two Super Bowl runs, period. Even though maybe statistics, and again, people get in trouble by statistics. I know everybody can't watch everything, but I beg you, watch Eli Manning and how he operated that team in those two Super Bowl runs, just like I beg you to watch Peyton Manning instead of just reading box scores in a lot of playoff games in his absolute prime for the Indianapolis Colts, and he stunk. Watch the games. Stunk. Not okay. Not average. Not fairly good. Stunk. Stunk. And yet people forget about it because, you know, just like some games he threw for 340 yards, he stunk in those games too. I mean, lots of people can do lots of things. You can't judge everything by statistics. You can't. All right, so Jared Goff is number 8. How does Jared Goff feel about the Commanders kicking his ass in Detroit on a Saturday night in January? Huh? Huh? He was 9th last year. His highest ranking this year, 5. I've got no problem with Jared Goff being number 8 on this list. 2nd in the NFL in yards per attempt last year at 8.6. 2nd most yards in the league at 4,629. Very good on play action, 75.4%. And, you know, listen, it helps to have Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta and so on. And that offensive line, my goodness. Jalen Hurts is number 9. I'll tell you this. If you're just, again, going by playoff games, Jalen Hurts deserves to be in the top 5. But this is not just a playoff game league. Again, just as I mentioned, playoff games really matter. The regular season matters too. Of course. Jalen Hurts is up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. He's erratic in the regular season. He's fine to good, but he's more erratic in the regular season than he has been in the postseason, period. He's been great in the postseason. You ask him to do a lot, you know, he's going to make some mistakes, and he's going to be erratic and up and down. So here's the thing. In 2023, He was asked to throw 538 times, 15 interceptions. Last year, he cut that number down to 5 interceptions, but that was only on 361 attempts, right? So, again, you see the impact of having way less throws, but obviously a much more productive offense than Saquon Barkley. I don't have a problem with Jalen Hurts being number 9 because, again, this is a big picture ranking. Baker Mayfield is number 10. I think this is fine. And that means there's no Brock Purdy. I think that's accurate. I think that's right. I think people think Brock Purdy is more of a system quarterback, even though they're wrong in that, yes, he's a perfect fit in the system, but he makes that system operate. But he's not a great quarterback. He's a good to very good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback.
How many quarterbacks on that list would you consider great? Is like elite and great different for you?
Based on that list? For me, elite is different than great. I think there's good, very good, great, elite. And maybe that's they're close. They are close. Mm-hmm. But I do tend to divide in tiers.
Okay. So would all of that top 10 be great to you then, based on that definition, or great or better, should I say?
I would say all of the top 10 would be very good at least. Mm-hmm. And I would include Baker Mayfield in that. I think Baker Mayfield has proven over many years that he is like turnover prone.
Yeah.
But I think by and large, he's been a very productive quarterback outside of a couple of years where he struggled with injury in Cleveland.
So based off of that, can't you say Brock Purdy can find his way in there too then?
What's the differentiator
between those two?
I mean, it's a good question. To me, I think Brock Purdy is more good to very good. I think Baker Mayfield is more consistently very good than good, at least the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is maybe I watch Baker Mayfield more. I understand he can be frustrating.
Yeah.
But also this means C.J. Stroud was not in the top 10, by the way.
Honorable mention.
Right? So honorable mention. So, you know, I don't want to break down. And neither was Jordan Love. Now, mm-hmm. Jordan Love was banged up a lot last year. I saw some interesting numbers over the weekend from Warren Sharp. Again, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, not in the top 10. Now, listen, not everybody can be in the top 10.
Dak Prescott wasn't mentioned.
Well,
at all.
Again, that's injury related, I think. Yeah. Dak Prescott would be right there. Maybe he would be pushed down a little bit from last year. I think he was 10th last year. I'd have to double check that. Mm-hmm. But Kyler Murray has no business being there. Mm-hmm. Purdy, at least, I can make an argument. Jordan Love, I can make an argument. Who was the other guy?
Who's
C.J. Stroud? You can make an argument. Who did you say?
No, I'm saying, is this for the top?
Like, an argument for the top 10. I cannot make one at all for Kyler Murray.
I'd agree. Yeah.
You know, Bo Nix, I need to see more, even though I said, well, same thing kind of like with Jayden Daniels, and that's probably why he ran. But I do need to see a little bit more out of Bo Nix. And Tua, no thanks. Aaron Rodgers, maybe 5 years ago. All right, that's the ESPN top 10. Maybe a little bit more on that. Plus, a San Francisco 49ers wide receiver wants out. Tell you next what that's all about on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.